Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast, the place to be for drama teachers, drama students, theater educators everywhere. I'm Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello, I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. You are in episode 98, and you can catch the links for this episode in the show notes at theaterfolk.com/episode98. So, the biggest misconception is that all teachers, during their summer vacation, head to the pool, put their shades on, feet up, eat bonbons, right? Well, I recently talked to 10 drama teachers from Korea to California. And let me tell you, there's not one of them who are sitting by the pool eating bonbons. Not one. I got to tell you, I mean, I've been amazed, always been amazed at how hard drama teachers work during the school year. And I'm pretty gobsmacked at what they do during their summer vacation. During their summer vacation. So today we've got part one with teachers from Virginia, Ontario, Alabama, North Carolina. And if you're a beginning drama teacher, I think you really want to listen in and take notes. You are going to get some great ideas. All right. Hello, Allison.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. Really busy, but that's just the norm.
And where are you in the world?
Yes, I teach at the York County School of the Arts, which is located in Williamsburg, Virginia, in the United States of America.
Awesome. And when does your school year end?
It does not end until next Friday, which is June 13th. So I'm still in the throes of school.
You're counting the days, though.
I'm trying to get last show done, so.
Oh, break a leg.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome. Okay, so what we're talking about is summer vacation and what teachers do for summer vacation. And I think it's the big misconception that teachers are just, you know, sitting around with their feet in the pool, sipping on a fruity drink and eating bonbons, right?
Absolutely. It is definitely a misconception.
What do you do?
Well, I even created a checklist for myself years ago to make sure that I actually accomplished everything before the first day of school. And some of these things are very common for any kind of teacher. For example, during the summer, I reflect on last year's notes and on lessons to make sure that I don't make the same mistakes moving forward, or I make some adaptions. I also go on Twitter and connect with educators for new ideas. I go on Pinterest here lately to browse for new ideas on classroom management, how I want to set up my classroom, because good teaching is just good teaching. I also buy school supplies, just like the kids. I get my pens and pencils and my Expo markers, things like that, and try to hit up the sales in August that typically happen in the office supply stores. For theater specifically, for my classes, if I need to get certain art supplies that would help out for next year's lessons. For example, I do a unit every year with my upperclassmen that deals with neutral masks. So I make sure that I've ordered the materials for that unit. And I try to do it in the summer when I have a little more time, especially if something's happening right at the beginning of the year. I go in and I clean and organize my classroom, because during the school year, I really don't have time to set it up and to especially make any changes. I clean my desk. I change up my posters, things like that. And the theater as well, for drama teachers especially, going in and, you know, really cleaning up backstage, taking an inventory of supplies such as lamps for the lighting instruments, you know, making sure the props are organized, the costume closet is organized, because that's a lot of work, especially with the more things you accumulate that you really, yes, you should maintain it during the year, but during the summertime when you're unencumbered by teaching, then you can really get down and dirty and clean up everything. And deciding a season for the year, granted, some of that comes from knowing your students and what kind of pool of talent you're going to be dealing with. So if you did teach the year before, you kind of know what students are going to be available the next year. So if you can select a season before going into the first day of school, that'll make your life 10 million times easier. Setting up royalties and getting licenses for the shows you want to produce the next year. And depending, I guess, on your school, our school requires us to fill out paperwork to request the use of our theater space for rehearsals and for our productions and getting it on the school-wide calendar. So we call them facility requests. So we do that during the summer too. So obviously when we're doing a show, the band or a random event can't come in and take up our space when we need it for a rehearsal or for a show. Lining up faculty and personnel to help you if you're doing a musical, making sure we have a choreographer lined up to help us out, a music director, possibly an assistant director if we have the funds for a costume designer, trying to set all of that up during the summer as well. I have a lot more.
Oh, man, Allison, you rock. I think this is just, it's just so awesome. And I think you're right. I've been in so many theater classrooms like during the year where it just seems like it's overwhelm has happened and things are in piles and this is in, and there are just props and costumes everywhere. And, you know, there's never any time during the year, is there?
No. So it's kind of like the summer is your opportunity to be relaxed and set everything up. My program, we do a lot of field trips during the year. And I know, you know, not everyone has that kind of luxury or the budget to be able to do that. But, you know, I know a lot of drama teachers that aren't necessarily in a magnet program like mine, where they might take one or two field trips a year. And sometimes they're overnight field trips like to New York City or international trips. We do international trips a lot. So during the summer, we use that time to contact vendors to set up for tickets for our field trips, arrange for transportation, kind of taking care of those nuts and bolts. So it's not, especially if it's an early field trip, and just kind of getting a plan for the year of what we want to do. In fact, my faculty, we're about to have that kind of meeting next week during our last week of school so we can plan for next year. We also have, like, if we want to have guest speakers or guest performances come in, we also, you know, try to have something set up or start making those communications out to those people during the summer or way early out. So we have that set in place. And then I kind of write in those dates on my desk calendar and my plan book during the summer before the first day of school, because it usually takes me about an hour or two to write all those dates in, like when are the main stage shows going to happen? What is my rehearsal schedule going to look like? So I kind of have an idea in my head and I could just keep going.
Well, I think what's really important, I think, and if there's for new teachers out there, organization and checklists. I love the idea. Make yourself a checklist. And then when you get to the end of the year, you don't have to, exactly as you say, you don't have to flounder and figure out what it is that you should be doing before that first day of school. You've got it written out. And then, and what a great thing to come into the first day of school and you're prepared.
Yes. And of course, you know, there are things that are specifically for, you know, being a drama teacher, like, you know, selecting your season, things like that. But then you have all of the school's expectations, like you need to make sure, you know, you have your syllabus made and your classroom management plan and make sure you've prepared for an open house and for back to school night and for make sure you read the teacher handbook and review the school's emergency procedures and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And every summer I send out welcome letters to my students before they have me on the first day of school. So they've had one, you know, example of communication to me of me before they even get into my classroom. So that's on my checklist. So it's a lot, but it's the stage manager in me to make a checklist.
Aha, that's your background. I can see it. It's written all over you.
Yeah. I'm definitely a director stage manager. And and every year I go back to this checklist and I edit it. You know what? I need to put this on this checklist, or I don't need to do that anymore. So I think as a first year teacher, having a running document on your desktop of your computer or wherever, or a journal, and just writing down notes as a year happens, like I better make sure I do this and throw that on my checklist, because I didn't have this checklist until my second year of teaching.
Wow.
And so it's like, if I could have had this checklist from the beginning, that would have made me feel a little better, especially when I mark them off. I did that.
Absolutely. Oh, Allison, that is so great. I think that's really, really, and how great must it feel too for your students to come into this organized? They've already heard something from you. I think it makes a big difference to when you're setting the scenario for that first day of school. I think it makes a difference when someone's walking into a chaotic situation and an organized situation.
Exactly, because it's embarrassing. And, you know, we've been in this position before just from outside reasons. But, you know, the first day of school, when they come in, they want to know, okay, when's the first audition for the show? What is our season? What are we doing this year? And if you can't tell them, well, we have the first show figured out, but we don't know what's going the next one going to be. Or we think we're going to have auditions for the first show next week. But if you have, this is our season, we have audition forms already for you to fill out on the first day of school, and our audition is happening next week. And this is a rehearsal schedule. Then they're going to be like, all right, you know, I can get excited about this. Everything's already planned. You know, they're going to feel better. And you as the teacher and the director of everything, you're going to feel a big breath of relief because you're already set up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much for this, Allison. That's awesome.
Thank you for the opportunity. I hope it helps somebody out there.
Oh, I know it will. All right. So now I am talking to Troy Taylor. Hello, Troy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm doing quite well.
Good. That's what we like to hear. Tell everybody where you are in the world.
I am currently in Birmingham, Alabama, where I teach at Hueytown High School. I'm the theater teacher there. I've been there for 2 years now. I'm about to start my third year in my teaching career, so I'm quite young in my career and my experience.
That's awesome. And are you still enjoying it as your first year?
Yes, I love it a lot. I really do. Each year it gets better and better, and my kids get more and more excited, and we just are doing more and more things as we keep growing, and every day passes by.
What made you choose theater? What made you choose to be a theater teacher?
Really, my journey as a student through theater in high school was an important part of my life and growing up. And my teacher was very important as far as me becoming a man and learning life lessons and just what it brought to me was very, very valuable. And so that was a journey that I wanted to take as far as giving back to society, so to speak, and being able to do that for students of the future.
It's an important job, isn't it?
It really is, and it's a very big job.
Absolutely. And on that note, so the question we're asking is, what do teachers do during the summer? What do you do on your summer vacation?
Well, I wish I could say that I had a summer vacation. For the last 2 summers, ever since I was hired, I've spent literally every day at the school and working to get ready for the upcoming year, or cleaning out and putting stuff away from shows that are still left out, or returning things that we've borrowed, you know, working on lesson plans. And I mean, you name it, and that's what I'm doing. There's not much of a summer for me, you know, and that's something I knew would be a part of my job if I really took it seriously. And there's a lot to do to get ready for our kids and what we, you know, shows and planning and production and all those kinds of things.
Why do you think it is that people assume that teachers just take that time off? Oh, they've got the summer off. Oh, the lucky teacher.
Well, you know, realistically, there may be a lot of teachers that get to do that. But teachers who really care about what they get to do and the opportunity they have to work with students every day don't take the time off during the summer to rest because they're too busy trying to prep for the upcoming year and for the next batch of students they're going to have, you know, new, or they may even have some of the same students, because they care about what they're going to present to their students and what kind of opportunities they're going to give. And, you know, especially being a theater teacher, we're always thinking, okay, what can we do next? What's the next opportunity that we can give for our students? And that takes a lot of planning and a lot of time outside of the normal 8 to 3 school day, you know, and during the school year, you're doing rehearsals. So that summer is really when you do your planning and prepping for the next school year.
And that's awesome. I think that you have got a grasp on that so earlier in your career. I think it's just going to serve you well.
Well, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Troy.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Now I am with Danny. Hello, Danny.
Hi, Lindsay. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm perfect.
Oh, I love to hear that.
It's nighttime and the sun's going down. It's beautiful out here.
It's beautiful where I am, too. I tell everybody where you are.
I'm in North York, Toronto, just north of Toronto, Ontario.
Just north of Toronto, Ontario. I love that. Love being able to talk to somebody as close to local as I'm going to get, I think. That's great.
Nice.
So how long have you been a teacher?
This is my 12th year. It feels like forever, but only 12 years, so I got lots to go.
Yeah, why does it feel like forever?
Well, first of all, as a drama teacher, we're always busy, so every year feels like four, but it's all good, though. You know, I'm definitely not going to complain. I love what I do, but it's hard work, so.
I don't know a drama teacher who isn't on the move 24/7.
Yeah.
Who just puts in so much extra time. I think that's something.
You have to.
Yeah, you do. Well, if you're going to do the job well, right?
Well, I tell parents, well, anybody who's willing to listen, is our job is it's almost 90% marketing and then 10% teaching. and that's a great thing too, because the marketing is really a lot of the great stuff that we do, right? Because it's the kids doing their work.
Yes, absolutely. So once you're heading into the end of your school year.
Yes.
How do you use your summer months?
Well, first of all, the summer is, although it can be seen as a time to relax, really, especially as a drama teacher, again, it's a refresher more than anything. And so I guess that includes doing a lot of reading. For me, I like to learn, but really that comes from reading new things and seeing a lot of stuff. And obviously that includes plays, but it's also traveling and finding new inspirations for stuff. And within all of that is obviously finding passion and revitalizing passion, because it's very easy to get stale, not just as a drama teacher, but as a teacher in general, especially the longer you do it. So in order to be motivational and in order to get your kids to be passionate, you have to stay revitalized. Almost like every September you come in and it's your first year all over again. And so, and you can't do the same thing. So I think refresher is the most important thing.
I think that's a great idea to look at it, that you have to kind of come into every year as if it's the first time, because otherwise you're just repeating the same games and doing the same exercises. And I think students know when you're just going through the motions.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they take drama because they have an expectation coming into the course. And even if they, you know, if they have an idea of what to expect, if they're surprised pleasantly, they're going to be more engaged as well. And so it's not tricking them, but it's keeping them on their toes. And the only way to do that is by being fresh every year.
Yeah, well, you're leading by example, right?
Absolutely. I say one of my prime beliefs.
So when you started out as a teacher, have you always had this principle of how to use your summer months, or has that changed over time?
Well, as far as the staying fresh and the passion is concerned, you know, for me, I had to give some sort of lecture in teachers' college, and it started with that, you know. And I think when you get into the profession in general, but then specifically as a drama teacher, if you're not thinking in terms of leading by example, like you say, but with passion and always staying fresh, that it's always been a part of who I am as a person. So I think that just comes natural as a teacher.
If you could give an example of one thing that you think every starting drama teacher should be doing on their summer months, what's the one thing that you think would be incredibly helpful?
Writing.
Ah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it not necessarily plays. I mean, me personally, I keep three or four journals at any given time, and it's ideas. You know, I'll be driving in the car and I'll ask my wife to write something down for me that comes to my mind, and it's just based on something I see or something I'm reflecting on from the day. But again, the more you write, it's inspirational, it keeps you fresh, it, like I said before, you know, it comes from a place of passion, obviously, if it's coming, you know, from that moment. So, and again, that I think writing always is going to come from the heart. And then again, if that's what you're turning around and trying to give to the kids, it's going to be inspirational. So writing is very important. It could be about anything. Again, it's not necessarily, like I said, about a play. It could be anything. New curriculum, it could be new lesson plans. I believe every 2 years, I have a 2-year cycle, and it doesn't always stay that way. But if I totally revamp all of my plans every 2 years in the summer, so that it could be also writing new plans.
I think that's awesome. I think keeping a journal is, again, it's something that we want students to do. So if we want students to do it, we should also be, again, leading by example.
Absolutely.
And I just love it. I love having a notebook on hand so that when anything hits your brain and you are in the habit of making sure it gets on the page.
Yeah, I learned that from a director that I worked with once, and it was in his back pocket, and it always, you know, it stuck out to me because he usually had the most creative ideas. And so I took that from him and I applied it to my teaching practice.
Oh, I love that. That is that's a great example. Thank you so much, Danny, for sharing that. And I really appreciate you taking your time.
No problem.
Awesome. Okay, so now I am talking to Chuck Stowe. Hello, Chuck.
Hi, Lindsay.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. It's been a wonderful day.
Awesome. And so just tell everybody where you are in the world.
I'm at Stuart Kramer High School in Belmont, North Carolina, where that's just west of Charlotte.
Ah, excellent. I can picture where that is. And how long have you been a teacher?
This is my 10th year teaching high school.
Did you teach something else before that?
I was on the college level, three different colleges.
Oh, so what made you decide to go to high school?
Moving back here to help take care of family and finding available jobs. But I love it. This is where I'm supposed to be.
Ah.
I enjoyed teaching on the college level, but I absolutely love teaching high school students.
Oh, why? Why?
I get to see them learn to love theater as much as I do.
It's an amazing thing. I think that that's what I love about doing plays for high school students, particularly because they're sponges and they're so enthusiastic and they're so energetic. It's always a joy.
Absolutely. I stay young because of my kids.
That's always good. Okay, so what we're asking everybody is, what do you do during your summer vacation? What are the things as a teacher that it's important for you to do?
Oh, one of the most important things for me, because with theater, I spend all my time in a classroom with no windows, an auditorium with no windows, a shop with no windows. So to get some sun time and fun time to just kind of recharge the batteries a little bit.
A little vitamin D is necessary, right?
Absolutely. So, but just some making sure, you know, we give so much of ourselves all year. We're giving and giving and giving time-wise, emotionally, physically, that it's time to recharge the batteries for ourselves. Make sure, you know, spending time with friends, with family, those kind of things. Read a few books that have absolutely nothing to do with theater or with educational development or professional development. Just some me time doing that. But for me, one of the most important things I try to do every summer is do theater where I can be part of a team.
Ah.
So often we are one-person programs. Most of us work as a one-person theater department. And we bring in people, volunteers to work with us. And of course, we have our students that we're working with. But we're still ultimately responsible for the whole thing. But to be able to go somewhere and act in a show, or just help build and paint a show, or work on costumes for a show. Do something where I can be part of a team where I'm not having to work alone. And that's refreshing and energetic, you know, and you can be creative. You've got people, other professionals you can bounce ideas off of. And I've often found that I can talk to those guys about some of the things I'm planning for the coming year and getting feedback from other theater professionals in a non-school setting.
I think that's amazing because, first of all we talk about quite a bit for our students is team building an ensemble. You know, we want them to be a team. And if you haven't had that experience of being on their side of the table where you are a part of the team, you know, how can you encourage them to do that to their best? Yeah?
Yep, I agree. And that's so important because what we do, we hear so much about 21st century skills and, you know, collaboration and creating and problem solving. It's what we've done in theater for 2,500 years.
Oh, yeah.
Today. But we talk about it, but we need to, like you say, be experiencing it firsthand to then be able to come back. And I bring some of those experiences back into the classroom. A couple of years ago, I did summer stock. Last summer, I worked with three summer camp programs in our community where they have theater camps, three-week theater camps where they produce shows, and I helped with those programs. So different things you do in different responsibilities, but just finding a way to plug in to hone my own craft working with professionals gives me a chance to, like, again, you know, that whole recharging the batteries metaphor.
Well, there's so many different ways you can recharge those batteries too, you know? Just the whole notion of, I just love that idea of, because you're still working on your craft of being a theater teacher, but from a completely different perspective.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I think that's so really helpful. When you started out as a teacher, what was your vision of what your summers would be like?
Well, naively, I thought I would be taking the summer off, and I'd have, you know, from June 10th to August 25th to just relax and hang out at home and do, you know, work in the yard and projects around the house. But the reality is I still do all of that, but I make time to do the other things, the theater work as well. And I try to do as much pre-planning as I can without going overboard with it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Oh, totally. So that when you walk in on that first day, you know where you're going.
Well, tomorrow I'm going to be announcing to my students what our musical for next spring is going to be. And we're going to be, so I'll start doing some pre-planning on that, you know, because I want to know in August, even though we're doing the show in the spring, in August, I want to know what the set's basically going to look like and what our costume concepts are going to be like and who my production team is going to be. So I'll be putting those pieces of the puzzle together over the summer, not having all the details done, of course, but just so that you've got the big picture at least filled in over the course of the summer with that.
I think that's really the only way to survive the life of a drama teacher is organization. Awesome. Thank you so much, Chuck. That was a really great, I love that example. I've been talking to a number of teachers and everyone has had a different take on this question. And I just, I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to all the teachers in this episode, Allison Hall, Danny DeLallo, Troy Taylor, Chuck Stowe. I love how much I learn doing these interviews. And I won't lie, I mean, I assumed there was someone who was kicking back and going to go into relax mode for the entire time. But, you know, deep down inside, I am not surprised. Not really. You guys are the hardest working folks I know. My hands are up. You know, all hail the drama teacher. So you can get the links to this episode in the show notes at theaterfolk.com/episode98. And before we go, let's hear some Theater Folk news. It's a play feature. It's a play feature. It's time to feature a play. Okay. Do you know what Rochambeau is? Yeah, me neither. Until this play came across my desk. So Rochambeau is the name for a tournament of rock, paper, scissors. That's right. You heard it. Rock, paper, scissors tournaments. And of course, you're intrigued because I was intrigued. And do you know that some people take rock, paper, scissors very seriously? So seriously that there's national rankings, so seriously that they might cheat to win their tournament, that they have to devote their entire lives to practicing no matter what? This is the world of Brian Baroka's play Rochambeau. I love the title. I love the subject matter. If you're looking for a fun play for middle school that is not your fractured fairy tale, pick this up. If you have a grade 9 drama class, oh, use this for scene work. Interesting characters who throw moves like you have never seen before. Go to theaterfolk.com. Read the sample pages for Rochambeau. Go to the show notes at theaterfolk.com/episode98 and click the link. Read it now. Finally, where, oh, where can you find this wonderful podcast? We post new episodes every Wednesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk. You can find us on the Stitcher app, and you can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search for the word Theater Folk. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.